is our first speaker, and I'm going to turn it over to Antoinette.
Antoinette, and I'm a grateful recovery addict. And I've been asked to read this statement, the speaker's statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there are not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid the situation. Our basic text, for one instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, I'm Antoinette, a grateful recovering addict. And I don't say that lightly. I'm like real, real grateful. And it's a lot of y'all in this room. And I thank God for the gift, the message that any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And I've been finding a new way to live for the last 13 years and 7 months by the grace of God. One day at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time, 1 breath at a time. It's an honor. I thank the committee for giving me an opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope on spiritual manipulation, right? And when they called me and gave me my topic, I was like, I don't know nothing about that. And God said, for real? Spiritual manipulation is almost like denial. The only thing it is that I really know it exists, but I'm going to try to deny its existence so I can make it better. I can make you think that I'm better off than I really am. Man, I thank God for this gift. My sister didn't make it. She died an addict. I don't ever ask God why me and why not my sister. I got another sister that's paranoid schizophrenic as a direct result of doing the same thing I did every day for 10 years. She smoked PCP and she lost her mind. And I pray for my sister on a regular basis. I ain't one of them people that say, I can't help my family if God sent me to it. I got to give her the message that any addict can lose a desire, but you got to be willing. You got to be willing to go to the next step or breathe the next breath. And I got to tell you, man, when they asked me to do this and God started opening up my spirit to what it was I was doing to me, I got in touch with a whole lot of stuff. I'm glad he dwells in my spirit, and the spirit came from the 12 steps and 12 traditions and going to meetings and allowing people to know me. I got a lot of home group members that are in here that just love me unconditionally. Sometimes I don't think that they love me unconditionally because I put my conditions on my love for other people. So I have to internalize and stop taking stuff personal. Now, you really want to get into some really spiritual stuff, stop taking stuff personal. Because it ain't about you. And that's what God said to me. It ain't about you. I got something for you. I got something for you to do. And all the things that God sent me to do, I ain't always willing. Because it ain't comfortable. Because I want people to like me. Because I want friends. I want to be accepted. And sometimes because it's like me and God, he got things for me to do that can't nobody else help me with. I've been manipulating all my life. But see, I'm real aware of it now. And when I'm getting ready to do the act, something in my spirit say that ain't the right thing to do. Now, I can either go with the thing in my spirit, or I can go with what I want to do. So when he started revealing some things to me, it was like a year ago, and I denied his existence. That ain't the way I wanted to look at it. That ain't the way I wanted to see it. That ain't the way I wanted it to be. I had to mold it and control it and make it and shake it to fit what I wanted to see. I manipulated my own spirit. Man, I got like this job that I go to every day, and I hate this job. And it ain't hate. I got a lot of gratitude because you ain't give me a paycheck, but I got to play a lot of games on this job. People don't understand, and they always say, you know, it's a job. I'm like, man, you just don't know the stuff I got to go through on a daily basis. I thank God for the gift because I'm able to go and be as honest as I can be with me. They don't know nothing about the gift of recovery. Because they call people like us crackheads on a regular basis. Or they call you out your name and you're supposed to grin and bear it. I have to stay in a posture of humility when I really want to curse somebody out or slap down or what out of somebody. And I have to call people in my network and I have to tell people exactly what I'm feeling. But see, when I start to feel those feelings, I have to ask God, what is it that you're trying to show me? What is it that I need to do for me? Because it ain't about them per se, but for real, it is about them. See, because they don't know nothing about this spiritual condition that I walk in on a regular basis. They don't know nothing about this God that I've come to love and I've come to appreciate. They don't know nothing about being humble. They don't know nothing about uplifting one another. They know about tearing down spirits. And on a regular basis, I have to go into this job and pretend like everything is all right. See, I've learned how to manipulate my spirit now in a positive way and not to let them get to me. So I call people and I talk about what I'm feeling. See, God kept telling me it was something he wanted me to do with my supervisor. And I said, no, that ain't it. I'm not doing that. I'll pray for her. He said, pray with her. She's hurting. Pray with her. And I said, no, because I don't like her. I was taking it personal. And I didn't know how to get out that personal spot. All I knew is she was attacking me. So I ain't know nothing about God was using me to get to her, just to elevate her to the next level, get her through the next 24 hours. It was about me. How dare she call me out my name? How dare she call me out? How dare she do this? How dare she do that? How dare she write me up? And all the time it wasn't about me. The sister is in a lot of pain. How dare I not take her to the gift? When I got sick and tired of being in that situation, and it was real clear, people just kept coming to me and saying, have you prayed with her? And I'm like, nah, I pray for her. I don't need to pray with her. What am I praying with her for? She the enemy. And they just kept telling me, and it wasn't even always people in fellowship that were telling me this. There were people in my life. Have you prayed with her? She's in a lot of pain. I'm like, well, I'm in a lot of pain too, Ann. But it wasn't about me. How dare I say I love God and not do what he asked me to do? So, when the sister came in, and every morning she come in, she real angry. And I was getting ready to get in my shell, and I had already told some people, this is what I know I need to do because this is God's will in it. And if it gets uncomfortable, I'm going to pray and I'm going to do it anyway. That's recovery. Do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Do it anyway. It ain't about you. Do it anyway. See, because my kids were suffering, but they ain't suffering no more. So when the sister came into work on a Monday morning, a tyrant again, and I was getting ready to shut down, I said, God, just help me. Go in there and do what it is I need to do. See, because in my mind I had projected she was going to reject me and I ain't want to feel those feelings. Because a lot of times, see, my spiritual manipulation comes when I don't want to feel some stuff. So when she came in and she was in her space, I gave her 5 minutes because I had to say a prayer. And I had to walk into her office and I said, I need to ask you a question. And she said, well, what is it? And I said, can I pray with you? And she said, yeah. And my spirit was like real overjoyed. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do. And she said, well, I'm getting ready to move into my new office. Can you bless my office? And I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And it was very uncomfortable in the beginning, but I invited God's loving spirit into my spirit to go into her spirit. It don't mean that sister changed, but I'm a lot better because of that. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times when you're feeling them feelings, all you got to do is just ask this God that you've invited into your life, what is it that I can do to help this other person? See, because a lot of times I take stuff personal, but I've learned how not to take anything personal over the last, like, 90 days. 90 days. And it has been like an awesome journey. Oh, my God. I like talk a lot about God because that's where the literature led me. A spiritual awakening with the God of my understanding. And I have a conscious contact with him because he tells me, no, baby, that ain't right. You get ready to jackpot yourself. And I know when the brick wall is coming. But because I'm human, sometimes I will go into denial. Oh, yeah, I'll run right into the wall. Because I think I'm slick. Oh, I ain't going to hit it. I'm going to get right close to it, but I ain't going to hit it. You know, a lot of times I always share spiritual matters don't make intellectual sense. My life is a spiritual matter. So sometimes when I try to intellectualize it, it just don't make no sense. You know, I had another situation that came into my life, and there was a brother that came into my life in his fellowship, and he did just what he was supposed to do. And see, what he was supposed to do was get me out my shell. But because I wanted more from him than getting me out my shell, what I did when he decided that he didn't want to play with me no more and he wanted to be with somebody else, the first thing I did was went into denial and I found a victim. Because I didn't want to feel the feelings that I felt coming from a wedding in Salisbury, Maryland, right? And he said, I no longer want to be with you. And I was like, hold up. Where'd that come from? I thought we was happy, joyous, and free. I thought everything was all right. When a need is fulfilled, God will remove. So the next situation that elevates you up to something else will come through. But because I didn't know that, I got a victim. I did. I got a victim. He quickly became a volunteer. I interjected those feelings. My home group, they know what I'm talking about. I interjected my feelings, my stuff, see, because I wanted to mold him, make him, shake him, create him, make him be who it was that I wanted him to be. And I knew he wasn't the one. But I manipulated myself to make y'all think that we were all right and it was going to be. It wasn't that way. You know what I'm saying? That's not the way it was. So this brother came into my life. Well, he came through my life, and my life is elevated because of that situation. I ain't bashing nobody. I'm talking about what God had to do for me, how he had to move me out the way, how he had to show me the exact nature of what I was going through and how, what he was really trying to do for me. He said, baby girl, I got something for you. You trust me or you trust what it is you think you see? So when I asked God to open up my spiritual eyes so I could see what no human could possibly see, I started to see some realization in my life. And when I got into this situation with this person, 30 days after we decided to so-called be boyfriend, girlfriend, he used. Man, that should have been a red light indicator, right? I didn't want to feel some stuff. So if I held on to that, I didn't have to feel this. And for the next like year and a half, my life was a living hell. And I remember somebody saying, you're doing 12-step work at home by yourself. And I said, no, I'm not. Y'all with me. I thank God I did not use. Going into my 7th year, my spirit was so empty. My heart was so heavy. My mind was just so cluttered with his stuff that I almost used. I thank God that I can do this. I can share. Because God set it up for me. He told me to go to this meeting on a Wednesday, 12 noon. Now, I work a full-time job. But I was in a place where I could do that. And I told a sister, because she had walked with me through this situation. I said, I need to go to the meeting today. I really need to share. I really need to talk about where I am. I really need to let y'all know what I'm doing. I really need to get free because I'm sick of me. And I went to the meeting, and it was so funny. My God is, like, awesome. I got a phenomenal God. I went to the meeting. The speaker didn't show up, nor did the chairperson. And when they were getting ready to open up the meeting, I knew it was for me, but I looked around the room. If you really want to get some stuff off, sit up in the front and don't turn around. Don't worry about who in the room. You know what I'm saying? So I looked around the room, and for one more time, I was getting ready to manipulate my spirit and say, it ain't for me. I don't supposed to share. God said, you trying to get better? Better take a rest. So when the person came up to the front, and he said, anybody need to share? Got something going on with him. I knew he was talking to me, and I took an emotional risk to save my life that day. I was going into my 7th year recovery. And I've been getting better ever since. Oh, yes. Taking an emotional risk to save my life. Because, see, I'm not. My life ain't based on who you think I am. My life is based on how I feel and how I treat me. And I love the package that God has presented to me. Right? So when this next situation came into my life, like, I got married. It'll be 2 years in May. Yeah. I sat still for 3 years.
That's all right.
Yes, I did. So if you don't think, man, woman, don't matter, if you don't think that you can remain celibate in this program, it's possible. Right? And it wasn't nothing that I wanted to do. I said, God, I want something better. And he said to me, deny yourself. I'm like, what? I can't do that. He said, you want what you want or you want what I got for you? I want you to sit still. And I said, well, for how long? I ain't know. And I sat still by myself for 3 years, and I was happy and content. There were some days that I was miserable because I saw y'all with the girlfriend, the boyfriend, and people dating, and I'm like, God, you forgot about me? Now, I told you about my sister who's paranoid, schizophrenic. She been married twice. I was like, well, what's up with me? Why you bypassing me? He said, you want what you want or you want what I got for you? Sit still and mind your business. So I sat still. I minded my business, and I shared with people when I was very uncomfortable. And in the beginning of that process, what I had to do was go to some people. Like, I tried my best, gave it my best shot to proposition somebody. And I thank God I propositioned the right one, because he said, Antoinette, I can give you what you want, but that ain't what you need. And he said, baby girl, if you always operating feelings, you're going to stay messed up. What's real in your life? And I thank God that brother is still my friend. And he took a risk and he told me the truth. Because he could have taken advantage of a situation that I was willing to give to him. But I sat still by myself. I learned a hand dance. Me and my girlfriend hung out a lot. I talked to a lot of women. I really, really got into my spirit. And I'm glad my spirit was pure before my husband got here. And when my husband came into my life, I was real scared. Because he has a lot less clean time than I do. And I've dealt with people that have as much clean time as I do. So it ain't about the clean time, it's about the quality. And he was a brother that was walking in some quality. And when he used it was devastating. Because addiction is an incurable disease, addicts are subject to relapse. Didn't mean that when he married me, he was exempt. And he knew I was going to talk about this, because I make sure that I talk to my half-partner. I let him know spiritually where I am, because we are the best of friends. And he said, baby, you do what you need to do for you. I thank God for that kind of brother in my life. And when he told me right before our first wedding anniversary that he had used, I was messed up. I got off my job and I came home so I could fix him. You need to go to detox. You need to do this. You need to do that. And he said, okay. And he went to detox for me. And it didn't work. Because 3 days later when he came home, I was like, what? Hold up. What did I hear? He said, well, somebody else needed the bed. I'm like, what? You needed the bed. And I proceeded to go on a roller coaster, emotional roller coaster ride with my husband until I was sick and tired of being sick and tired because I couldn't save him. And I said, you know what? I'm getting off your roller coaster ride. This is your journey. This is your job. God kept telling me, you mind your business. It ain't personal. This ain't about you. You need to let me work with him. You keep getting in my way. And when I stopped taking it personal and I started loving my husband, because I got a sponsee that I talk to every morning on the phone between 6:30 and 7 o'clock on my way to my job. And she said, Antoinette, that's not your husband. That's the addict that has resurfaced. Treat the addict. I ain't know how to. That was my husband. So I had to separate the two, and I had to start to deal with the addict who had resurfaced. And I had to make the truth be known to me. It wasn't about him. Right? And I had to do all that I knew that I needed to do. No, I ain't put him out. No, I ain't deny him nothing to eat. Because whenever he did what he did, he rolled out anyway. And all I did was stayed in prayer. God, protect my husband wherever he is. Not allow any hurt, harm, or danger to come to him. And he's sitting in his room. And he went and did what he needed to do for him. It wasn't for me. And you really want to see the miracle working in somebody else's life? Just give it up. And let somebody else. Let them go through and do whatever they need to do. Like, my family is so supportive of me. And it was kids and families that hated me when I got here. They couldn't stand me. Like, messed up my life. Make you think I want to love you. But because this God loves me so tremendously, he done put all that back together. All my kids call me and they like, Ma, I'm proud of you. Mom, do you need something? Sometimes I don't feel appreciated. That's just a motherly thing to do, right? But I know my kids, they can count on me. Because of y'all, they can count on me. And today is so much better than it ever has been, because I keep asking God just to continue to open up my spirit so that I can be receptive to the love that he has for me. And all the love that he has for me comes through you. That's enough out of me. Thank you for letting me share.